Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just curious, did you give much thought to going with a regular type of pass defense instead of the Hail Mary defense at the end?
No.
And I'm just curious, of all the players to come off the field on the last play, why was it Devin McCourty who came off? He seems to be one of your team's faster players, one of your better tacklers. Why was he the one who came off?
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
Do you wish in hindsight you had him on the field for that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play. And I think there are a lot of things that could have been better in the entire game. I don't think the game was a lot more than that play, but certainly that play wasn't a good one for us.
Bill Belichick yesterday on his conference call. Ben Bolin of the Boston Globe asking the questions in that portion of the call. Excellent questions, to the point, very specific about Devin McCourty not being on the field for the final play in Miami. What's up, Zo?
How you doing?
Good, good. We're in inside Gillette Stadium today.
Yeah.
Home of the Patriots.
It's going to be a fun one today.
Yeah. The mood down here, delightful, after Sunday's events in Miami.
People still shocked. Hey, they pulled one off on you. What are you going to do?
Yeah. You know, the start of Bill's conference call yesterday, I thought we were about to get sort of the, like, admission. Like, yeah, you know, coaches make mistakes too. And sort of an admission of screwing something up. And then by the time we got to those questions, it was like, oh, forget it. All bets are off. Devin McCourty on the field. Yeah, that's the way we substituted the group. Yeah, we know that. That wasn't the question. Why was he not on the field? That's the way we substituted the group.
I wonder who called the substitution, though, you know?
Fair question.
Is that a Flores? I just
think that's such hogwash to do that. Yeah. Oh, who called the substitution? Bill gets the credit for everything. Anything goes right defensively, no one wants to give Brian Flores credit, even when people are giving Flores credit for the third down defensive things that have happened in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And then you automatically are, yeah, but it's really Bill. Like, Bill always gets the benefit of the doubt when it's credit, when he gets credit for things, for what they're doing. But then something goes wrong, and it's, but who called the substitution? Come on. It's Bill's defense still. It's Bill's team still. The head coach gets the credit. The head coach gets the blame. It's just sort of the way it goes in this league. It's just, that's the way it goes. He doesn't make mistakes often. He really doesn't. I mean, we know how good he is. Bill Belichick is the best coach in the National Football League, and I don't even think there's a close second. I don't. But when he screws something up, man, he cannot admit it or will not talk about it.
Really hasn't.
That is the opposite of Brady. Brady screwed up on Sunday, and what did he do? He screwed up. Made a bad mistake. I didn't know how many timeouts there were. Well, I guess there's no more questions about that. We know exactly what happened. You screwed up. You admit it. What are we going to do? You got a long track record of success. We're not going to kill you over that. It's stunning, but at least you admit it.
You know what I did? I went back and watched the end of that first half again last night. So I heard this on Felger and Mass driving home, and I continue to watch them on the simulcast, as I do each and every day. And they're bringing up a good point about the timeout. Normally, when you get sacked and you're the quarterback, first thing you do, okay, Pete Morelli's on the game. He's the guy with the white hat. He's always behind you, right to your right. So if I duck under like Brady did, they hit the helmet, they grab him, he goes down. Pete, burn the timeout. He never signaled or looked for timeout. Did he mouth it? I didn't see him turn and mouth it like, timeout, timeout. Pete knew you have no more. You know what I'm saying? He goes down on the sack, and then you watch the lineman, like, here's Marcus Cannon. He's just kind of standing there. There's no frantic, okay, we're going to clock it, or, you know, sometimes in dismay, when you have disarray and you don't understand what's going on,
yeah.
What do you do as a line? You turn and go, what are we doing? What happened? There's no odd reaction from anybody up front. It was just, okay, we got sacked, we all got up, and we jogged in the locker room. It's a little funky. Did Brady, as he's going down, realize, oh, my God, and I saw him look up. He looked up through the goalposts, and that's where the scoreboard is in that end. Did he look up and see just zeros on the timeout and go, oh, my God, I'm not even going to embarrass myself and turn around and ask Pete Morelli for the timeout? There was no boom. You know, when you practice these end of the half, two-minute drills after big play, you're so conditioned as a quarterback, as you're so conditioned as a coach, talking to him, not having to worry about a guy in his 19th year understanding how many timeouts. Tom's so good in those situations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You practice this where, okay, here you go. Run the ball. Okay, there's a sack. What do we do? Head coach stand behind him in practice. Timeout, coach,
all
timeout.
Right, all right, there's 14 seconds on the clock when the play started. How many seconds were on the clock when the play ended?
Probably nine.
Okay, you're not going to call a timeout with 9 seconds if you're kicking a last-second field goal. You're going to let your coach call the timeout with a second or two on the clock. Quarterback's not going to get up with 9 seconds screaming timeout. You don't call timeout
okay.
with 9 seconds left if you're kicking the last. If you're kicking a field goal, it's the final play of the half.
Watch him again. You get up off your ass. You go to Pete. You look at him. He said, okay, we're letting this thing drain. He never did that. He just unsnapped his. He got up, looked up at the clock, unsnapped his helmet, and walked off.
So maybe you realized when he looked up at the scoreboard that he had no time.
Bermuda Triangle type stuff, man. This weird crap happens down there. Like, you lost your mind. Wow. That's still tough. That's the toughest. That more so than the, hey, freak plays happen. We've seen them. All right? We've seen Hail Marys. How many Hail Marys does Aaron Rodgers hit to win a game or put a game into overtime? He's got a couple handfuls.
Not many, because he doesn't have very many fourth quarter comebacks as we.
I know, but I mean, there was 1 year. I think it was 2 years ago. He hit like three or four of them, and people were freaking out. He's the greatest kids, Jesus and Cleats, you know. Like, we don't get a lot of those. You'll see him every once in a while, but that end of play type game there, where they got you, that'll happen. You never see this stuff. You never see Brady forget timeouts, ever. So you can learn from it, and. Here's what Josh does when he talks to him in his helmet until that 15-second, you know, cutoff rule happens. You're going through the play. You're talking him through the play. I bet you never once did Josh say, okay, be careful here. Don't take a sack, or if you don't have it, throw it away. Because you assume he knows that. You can't assume that now. So from here on out, hey, Tom, we got one or we got two, or you got all your timeouts. Okay? Let's think about that first. I think they talk so much through the play that stuff is just minutiae for them.
Don't you sense a difference, though, in both Belichick and Brady and how they've handled the post of this game, the aftermath of this game?
Yeah. And I talked to Tom. I saw Tom out at the bus.
Bill said, it's the first couple of answers.
Yeah.
He said, well, we've got to be better. And he said, it starts with me. He said, as I've said, I've got to do a better job. I mean, he says, I've got to be better. Coaching staff has to be better. But never just says, yeah, we did some things wrong, and we have to fix them.
See, but from
he won't say it. He won't bring himself to say that ever.
From a mindset game, you know, I've been around this team after bad losses, like Kansas City. Tom's just staring into oblivion, man. Just walking down to the buses, and like it's just like you're gonna have no interaction. You just move out of the way. Talked to him after the game. Talked to him saw him on a plane. Said, well, we good. We're all right. Is the fact that the offense he thinks is coming, like he looked in rhythm in that first half.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about public.
But no, how you handle
what
it.
What they say, how they handle it publicly.
And Brady's more pissed off after that. Like, Brady's pissed off after the Super Bowl.
He's so
That's
much better
obvious.
At dealing with it.
Really? How about after the Super Bowl? Like 9 days after. You got convictions. You got to answer. Who do you play this game for? What are we doing? What are we doing this for? Like, that one aided him. This one didn't aid him. I think he said, hey,
well, I would hope that Super Bowl he's a player losses. More than a regular season loss
no,
against
he,
the Miami
he grouped
Dolphins.
It. I'm just trying to explain why.
He hasn't lost 10 Super Bowls.
But I'm trying
he
to explain why the mindset of the quarterback, like, I can only control what I control. I screwed up that one series. One. How many plays did I have? 60, 65 snaps? Guess what, Josh? Give me a minus on that third down. Minus. Minus, double minus. Give me triple minus. How many minuses does the head coach have?
So this is the point of all this.
I think that's the difference.
Here's the point of all this. Based on what happened last year in the Super Bowl, and now based on a questionable coaching decision at the end of this game, How does it play with his players? Forget how it plays with us. How does it play with the players? How do they look at it?
I think they look to the veterans in the room and watch how they react, because that's probably how they're going to react.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking about sort of the ownership of the mistakes. Brady owned his.
Yep.
Owned it. Right?
Here's what I don't understand with Bill, if this is the case. If he got to
Does Bill ever own it is my question. Never forget publicly. Yeah. Does he ever own it privately?
If that was, if that wasn't his mistake, though, would the players look positively if he was covering for somebody else?
Yeah, if Belichick didn't even do that.
But if Belichick came out and said, you know what, Brian Flores made the call, he put the wrong personnel on the field.
Well, that'd be brutal.
Yeah, you can't say that either.
So what? So take the blame yourself. You didn't do that either. He hasn't done anything. He didn't take the blame. He just said he had to be better. He wouldn't answer the question about why Devin McCourty wasn't on the field. He wouldn't do it.
If that's an elimination game.
Here's my question. Does Devin McCourty have that question? Is Devin McCourty there saying, why was I not on the field for this play?
It's going to be
we saw the way the Chicago game ended, right, Bill? You saw how that ended.
What's McCourty say this week?
The McCourty twins made the stop in that game. Not Josh Gordon. We did. The safeties. The defensive players.
Yeah, Gordon's not a tackler.
So is Devin McCourty walking out of the stadium in Miami this Sunday going, why the hell was I not on the field?
Probably.
And why won't anybody give me an answer on this? That's what I want to
know. How do you
know
he didn't get an answer, though?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
But if that's
because
normal,
Bill never owns it publicly.
No, if that's a normal
does he own it privately
thing,
is my question.
And your game plan changes weekly, and that's what we're going to do against Miami. Here's our kill play against Miami. Rob, you're in. Devin, you're out.
Well, here's the
that's
good,
already in
here's
on Friday.
The good news.
That doesn't develop final 5 minutes of a freaking game.
Here's the good news. Jim Gray, in his interview with Tom Brady, sort of hits on this last night.
Ooh.
Sort of wanted to know these answers for himself and wanted to ask Tom Brady, does Bill sort of own it? Do the players good on the coaches? Does this sort of happen in your locker room with Bill Belichick? They talked about it last night on Westwood One, and we'll get to that sound. We have it coming up for you.
Nice.
Right after this on Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
I've been in the NFL for 19 years. It doesn't go your way all the time. I think you appreciate it when it does go your way. I certainly appreciate it when it went our way in the Super Bowls. I mean, those have just been incredible games that'll last a lifetime. And I'll certainly remember the games like these that, you know, leave a mark. You know, it was right there for us to win the division, and, you know, we just didn't get the job done. And I don't sit here and, you know, I'm not a victim. No one's obviously, you know, our team is very resilient. We're very mentally tough. We learn from losses. We learn from mistakes. One play certainly won't define our season. Again, we have all of our goals ahead of us, and they're all tough. And if you learn from it, you can overcome a lot.
Tom Brady last night, Westwood One, Jim Gray, the interviewer, has always shared his opinion with you many times before that he thinks these questions are pre-approved by Tom Brady. I have a hard time believing that, but I'll take your word for it, Zo.
I have not confirmed that.
I know you haven't confirmed it. That's your strong belief, though, right?
Just being around these guys and me dealing with the head coach, stuff is sort of asked, what are we talking about? Or what are the guidelines here? What is the specific question, but here's the general outline of what I want to talk about this week.
I just think that Jim Gray is a safe place for Brady, and so he doesn't have to sit there and pre-approve questions.
Right.
He just assumes that Gray's not going to screw him over somehow.
And it's weird, though, but every once in a while, Gray will break his balls a little bit, where he'll put him to the screws.
Well, I think we got one of these
last
night.
But it's like every 5 weeks. You don't get it all the time.
So he sort of uses Brady's words against him. And things he said in the past and things we've heard from a lot of players, like, you know, players all get graded after a game and coaches put us in the best position to win and things of that nature. We've heard Brady say those things before in this very interview with Jim Gray. So Jim Gray asks Brady about sort of the accountability factor with coaches. Here it is.
Tom, the players are graded after every game, correct?
Yeah, in one form or another we are, by our coaches and by ourselves.
Are the coaches graded?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy.
Well, if the players get graded, is the coaching staff graded and the coaches?
I think, you know, we're all tough on ourselves. The coaches are, players are. We're all in it together. This is, you know, the one thing we've never done at the Patriots is assess blame and do all that. We're all in it together. We had plenty of things we could all have done a better job of to try to get the job done, which we didn't do.
Wow.
Now, that's edited. You can tell.
Yeah, tightened it up.
It's all tightened up, so there's no pauses. There's no breaths. There's none of that.
I'm not sure where you're going with this one, Scratchy.
I don't think he loved being put in that spot to have to talk about coaches. And the answer there, in case you missed it and you couldn't read between the lines, was no.
Our coach is not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy.
I think they're really tough on themselves. If they were graded, he'd say they were graded. They're not graded.
He knows what
I don't think
going
that's unusual.
He wants him to say something. He wants him to downgrade the decision-making
exactly
of the head coach or the coordinators.
Where he's going with it. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to deal with
smart
what the fallout would be of
what's
it.
He want to do? Have the entire offseason he had this offseason? That long, dramatic, you know, I'm not going to be around. We didn't get any answers. The Danny Amendola interview with Mike Reese riding in a car in karaoke.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's an a-hole to play for, but no, we're all wondering. We're all bleeding out there wondering, where's Malcolm?
Do you believe that any team, this team, any team ever, when something bad happens, nobody places any blame on anybody? They just move on like there's no blame to be placed? Come on. No one actually buys that.
I think you believe and understand where the blame is, but I don't think anybody with a directive, whether it's the head coach or coordinator or a team captain, will sit there and, you know, put somebody out there and put them to the screws after a game.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that whether it be privately, their own thoughts.
They know it.
Everybody's human in there. Of course they put blame on other people. They may not make a deal of it. And the more you like someone or the great relationship you have, makes it easier to move on. Like, oh, we'll move on. You know, there's that. And so for so many years, the relationship was really good. And maybe it is still really good. But I bet it was... I just wonder if it's as easy to move on from coaching decisions now as a player than it was 10 years ago.
And they say time heals all wounds, right? And the Super Bowl is so long ago. But
it ain't that long ago.
Well, I know that.
This calendar year.
It took a while for that sting to get away. How many days did I come in and scream? Like, I still want the answers.
For
you?
Like months.
Yeah, so we're sitting there Sunday calling the game, and it happens right in front of us. And I am just flabbergasted. And I'm still thinking about it. Imagine being a player on that sideline. Imagine being Bill. And you're sitting there, and everything you're going through your mind, you just decide with Joe Judge what we're going to do. We're going to squib it. Okay, we got the guy down. We're good here, guys. We're good. Let's get our kill team out there. Let's go. Oh, it's the first time we won down here in a long time. Then all of a sudden, the guy hits one. Then he laterals it to him. Then it's here, and it's like, oh. Then all of your mentality changes. However long you let that stay with you is going to affect you more this week. Do they have enough guys in that room? See, I think the quarterback turned the page. He's ready to go this week. There might be 9 other guys that already turned the page and are ready to go this week.
That's what Matthew Slater told us right after the game. He said, how we respond to this,
how do you get the other 41 to buy in and say, you know what, we can't dwell on it. We're sitting here, we're dwelling on it. We're still taking calls on this. Yeah, we're still talking about this game and how it ended. We're 2 days after it already. They already got install going in Pittsburgh. You know, then it's a full practice, padded practice tomorrow.
Yeah, great.
That's great for us and them.
Great.
But
great for the season.
What if they still, you know, put your pads on, still pissed off about Sunday? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
That could hurt them. That will hurt them if that's the case.
Yeah, but they're...
And Rob Gronkowski wouldn't have said it, and Matthew Slater wouldn't have said it, and Brady wouldn't be so quick to tell you there's no pointing fingers. Like, they fear the possibility of it. Don't tell me otherwise. They're telling us this in, you know, not so certain terms.
That's not one of those plays that's one of those plays where, like, I got home and my wife talked to me about it yesterday.
Yes.
So these guys are going to be in circles that they normally aren't asked about. Hey, what the hell happened in Miami?
Yes.
You know, like, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever, whoever they run into this week, it's holiday time. You're talking to people around holiday time. Like, you're going to be talking to different people who are going to bring it back up, and it's going to bring that memory and that thought process back up, and you're going to say, we're going to move on from it. It's going to be harder this time, though, because it's such a big play nationally. Whoever you talk to is going to bring it up.
Right. They're the jokers on the wrong side of the play. You know, that happens to the Bengals. That happens to the
You think Mark Sanchez moved
Browns.
On from the butt fumble?
No.
No.
It's sort of like that.
He joked about it at this press conference the other day. What are you trying to do? I'm just kidding you, man. You know, yeah, it's a bad play. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit here and laugh about it. He didn't move on. He's the one to talk about it. Well,
more from Jim Gray, Tom Brady. Let's continue to roll these cuts, Tom. Let's hear it.
Bill Belichick has come out this afternoon and said the failure on the final play starts with me. And you always say how the coaches put you guys in a position to succeed, and then it's the player's problem or the player's fault if it doesn't go well. But were you guys in this instance yesterday put in the best position to succeed, or has Bill Belichick already acknowledged that that's not the case?
Yeah, I think he always takes accountability when we lose, and he wishes things he could have done better. I wish there's things I could have done better. I mean, it's not one play. You can obviously point to one play at the end of the game, which was a play that's a statistical anomaly, you know, and it's incredibly hard to pull off. And we practice those plays too, and it's just, it's hard to ultimately score the touchdown. There's a lot more than that one play. There's another 59 and a half minutes that go into the game that, you know, we're all a part of.
Well, he did say Bill takes some accountability.
He said it starts with me. Isn't that taking accountability? It starts with me. Does anybody get on that field if he doesn't okay it?
What do you mean?
Does anybody run out there? Those 11 guys at the end defensively run on the field if Bill doesn't okay that?
I don't know. You told me at the start of the show that it could have been Brian Flores. So which is it?
I didn't say that. Jim said that. I think it's all Bill.
Okay. All right.
I mean, when they devise stuff and they go over stuff, you know, he's the more defensive-minded head coach than offensive, right?
Of course.
Oh, here's my thought helping you, Brian, become a better defensive coordinator. If we talked about this on Friday, maybe build it and send him in the game, so to speak, on Sunday. But, hey, Brian, this is what we're doing Friday. All right, get your walkthrough. Here's, get the kill play ready.
You know what the weird part of that clip was? That it's a statistical anomaly? Is that how they're looking at it?
It is.
He said it a couple times during the interview.
Yeah, he did.
And they mentioned it a couple of times yesterday. I heard people mention
that they
it
got
yesterday.
Beat on, their belief is they got beat on a fluke play. That's
oh, like,
that
like they had no control over whether
no,
or not
no,
it was going to happen?
No,
well, that's
but
what
I
you're
mean,
saying when it's a fluke or
I saw it in postgame. There's a 99.7 chance.
Like you didn't contribute to the way
work.
It happened.
Well, it's also a statistical anomaly to leave 7 points on the field by a missed field goal, missed extra point,
ooh,
in the end of the first half, right?
Smarty pants, huh?
No, seriously.
No, you're right. That's what pisses me off.
You blocked two punts.
It's just dismissive of everything that happened.
You blocked two punts. You didn't turn the ball over.
Well, that's a statistical anomaly. That doesn't happen very often.
You forced them into 1-7 on third down.
You know what I bet you is close to a statistical anomaly?
What?
Is that Brandon Bolden running for a 54-yard touchdown run.
Thank you. More statistical anomalies. But just been a big fluky game down there in Miami.
They're still partying down there. I went on with Joe Rose on the Joe Rose show today. They're loving it. They're loving it down there. It's like their Super Bowl.
How about blocking
Tennessee miracle?
How about blocking two punts, winning the turnover battle, Brady throwing for 3 touchdowns and no interceptions?
How about time of possession, bro? How about you having the ball for the first time ever in Miami for more than a quarter than they did?
You know, it's a statistical anomaly coming back from 28-3 down, too. That's a statistical anomaly.
Yep. Sure is. Statistically an anomaly, but I think they would tell you that they had something to do with overcoming that, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they tell you?
I think they did tell us. Three games of glory. They told you why.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had.
Matt Patricia went to speak at Notre Dame and told you how the holding call was being called.
Statistical anomaly. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Stop doing that. Statistically just rare. It's so weak. Don't do that, Brady. Don't do that, Patriots. It's such crap. Statistical anomaly. Just fluky crap.
I'm sorry. It smells like dog ass again in here today.
Dolphins are now 7-6. 7-6, and they've got a winning record, Jim, and they're just on the outside of the playoff picture. They should be celebrating in Miami like it's their Super Bowl.
Can you imagine having to play them wild card weekend up here? Like, that's a possibility.
They have the same record as one of the wild card teams.
They're in it.
Yeah, they're right there.
They
beat Tennessee, too.
Yeah.
So they have a tiebreaker with Tennessee.
You could see them in the playoffs.
This isn't like they're you know, 2-13 or something.
Then why don't we respect them then? Then why don't we look at them like the way we look at the Bears? Now I hear this coming in there. That Bears one, that's a good win now. Look at the Bears.
What? What do you mean?
When we talk about the team,
we respect the Bears way more than Miami.
That's my point.
Because the Bears are a better team.
Okay. So I'm sitting there screaming
again. I don't understand
again,
your point.
You can't lose to Miami. Can't lose this game. That's a bad team. I'm watching that game.
It's a horrible
That's
loss.
A bad team.
It's
that's a bad loss. That's what that means. That's a bad loss. So now we're sitting here grading out the Bears win again, like, oh, that's such a better win now because the Bears are rolling. No, take the damn snapshot in time. That was a bad football team then. Tired of that.
They're better than Miami. We knew that going in. I don't think anyone thought they were as bad as Miami going in.
Didn't this week prove that there's not a ton of teams that are a lot better than anybody in the league right now?
The middle of the pack teams, it's held up, Jim. It's a huge group of teams in the middle. It's a massive group.
The middle got closer to the top this weekend.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that is true. 617-779-0985. Telephone number for you. You want to jump on board? Coming up next, why don't we why don't we switch gears a little bit, talk about something positive from the game on Sunday. I think there is a positive that came out of this.
Oh, good.
And it's related to Rob Gronkowski and his day. I don't think we spent much time on this yesterday, but before his play at the end of the game, which is not his fault, he did have a good game offensively. Let's talk about that. Is Gronk back? We'll get to that next, and we'll talk to Billy Jaffe coming up at 10:50.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Celtics beat the Pelicans last night, 113-100, even though they were without Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, among others. No big deal, says Coach Brad Stevens.
One of our issues has not been stepping up when guys are out. That's always been the strength of this group. And, you know, I think everybody that's played would tell you, when you only have 8 or 9 or 10 guys, that's, you know, you're all playing. So there's some excitement around that, and I think it's a, you know, I thought all of our guys did a good job.
And managed to notch the 6th win in a row for the Celtics, who will visit Washington tomorrow night. Bruins are home tonight. They'll take on the Coyotes. Bees going for win number 3 in a row. Judd's Rob, Bob Beers, and the pregame starting at 6:30 here on the Bruins Radio Network. Driven by the award-winning Honda Accord. NFL Week 14 wrapped up last night. Seahawks beat the Vikings 21-7. Headlines are brought to you by the law firm of Colucci, Colucci, Marcus, and Flavin, recognized for excellence in personal injury law by U.S. News and World Report, Super Lawyers, and Newsweek. If you've been injured, visit ColucciLaw.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gordon split left, Edelman flanks right. Brady on the play fake. Drops and then steps up to throw to the right for Gronkowski. Yeah. Brings it down in traffic. Touchdown, Patriots, to the near right pylon.
And I just say, give me the spike. Double coverage and Brady force feeds him. Woo! What a throw. He is heating up, boy. Brady playing as good as he's ever played in South Florida. It's a good route by Gronkowski. You got a high safety. There's underneath. There's a guy to the outside. 16-yard touchdown. Brady stepping up. Great form.
Drops. And steps up to throw to the right. For Gronkowski.
Welcome back to Solak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today, 617-779-0985. Rob Gronkowski, silver lining to this brutal loss on Sunday could be that Rob Gronkowski had himself a day, Zo. Caught 8 passes, over 100 yards, had a nice touchdown that you just heard.
Yeah.
Took a big shot to the back at one point, bounced right back up.
Took 2 shots to the back and also took a shot to that right knee when he got cut underneath.
Yes, he did.
And popped right up.
So, is Gronk back, so to speak?
I think he's getting there, yeah. It's the beginning of it. And this is about the target point where, and I said it last week, you know, off the injury report, cross the fingers that they're going to start unleashing him now and start throwing it to him and start force feeding him early in games. I think it's by design, very descriptive to where you can put him in a huddle and sort of hide him, use him as a blocker, use him as a decoy. Now you're starting to go to him. What's it do? It allows Josh Gordon to play his natural role. That's the perfect script. Edelman here, Gronkowski here. Then you get Gordon on what it is. It's an in-cut or slant. The routes he's supposed to run. The routes he runs well. It's just, I'm amazed that James White played 17 snaps in that first half. It just didn't feel like it. Felt like he was out there for 2. Like, he didn't seem involved in the offense early. But maybe that's going to help save him down the stretch. Spread it out to those guys. That was the best combination of Gronkowski and Edelman together that we've seen in a long time. And I think that's part of why the quarterback's feeling pretty good. Or why the quarterback, more importantly, looks good in the game. Like, he's got his guys now. You don't have your guys, and they're in there, but, you know, it ain't right. I got to force it to Josh.
Well, as some have suggested about Rob Gronkowski, which is why I'm not ready to say he's back and he's all world, all pro, greatest tight end going Rob Gronkowski, is that his coverage is different. In Miami, I don't think paid a lot of attention to what he was doing on the field, which is great that's sort of a rebound effect of his poor play, isn't it?
And this
he played poorly for a stretch, wasn't a big factor. Hey, the Jets put a safety on him. Oh, well, everyone else is just putting a safety. Well, just throw someone on him.
See a touchdown?
He's not the same guy anymore.
See a touchdown play?
He gets a
free release right up the gut, inside. Inside free release up to the safety, which allows him to bow it right out, and you stick it on him.
Yeah.
It's indefensible. How many times in other years have you had to have a guy over top, and boom, you jam at the line of scrimmage just to disrupt the timing of the route? He will get in the route. But now they view it as, we can let him get in the route and cover him.
Oh, Minnesota only want to put a safety. Well, we'll do it too. Everyone's just putting a safety on the guy.
He's
not doing anything.
That's good. That's good you did that going into Pittsburgh week. Pittsburgh's not stupid.
Well,
maybe they are stupid. You know what they're going to end up doing?
But wait,
they're going to end up tripling him.
Is it? Because what if they now look at it and say, oh, damn it. Gronk's playing well again. We can't afford to just put one single guy on him.
Edelman.
We're not going to do the same stupid thing Miami did.
Edelman, James White will have 10 catches. What's that?
Then James White will have 10 catches.
Yeah. Then that's going to open up everything for White, Edelman, and Gordon on the backside. I hope they triple team.
Either way, it will help them. Either way, it's going to help the team.
Yeah.
Whether or not it helps Rob Gronkowski is a different answer because he can still be a factor without putting up production.
It's your ability. You have to have the ability to adjust. So if they're going to triple him, Josh has got to be good in game. Say, oh, this is great. We're going away from him. But if they continue to single him up, keep throwing to him. 8 catches, 107 yards? Come on. That's a good day for him. It's a great day for him based on how he's been playing.
First scoring play in the red zone all year. Remarkable.
How many more touchdowns does Devlin have in him? 2 or 3? a little meathead.
I mean, just to put that in perspective, Gronkowski, between 2010 and 2017, last year, had 55 red zone touchdowns in that span. 55!
Jesus.
This year, it took him until this game this week to have one. That's not the same guy. We know that, but I think at the very least, this performance is going to lead to good things for the Patriots, you know, in this game against Pittsburgh, whether that be that Gronk gets single coverage again and he's playing better, or he's going to command more coverage and it's going to free up someone else like James White. 617-779-0985. Is this Graham in the car?
Graham.
Yeah.
Graham.
How you doing?
Hi.
I'm wondering what you wanted the quarterback to say in the interview. Obviously, as a part of an organization, he's not going to sit there and throw the coaching under the bus because of some weird last play. It was a statistical anomaly, but I don't think you'd go on the air and start ripping Zoe or Hardy up and down because you didn't agree with the decision they made. Like, that was just, it seemed really petty of you to hammer that point.
The statistical anomaly point, I don't like at all. I don't like that at all. I don't like that view of the play. Even a little bit.
To quit the coach, it is what it is. I don't know what the quarterback can do other than say, like, it is what it is, we got to move on. But he sounded petty just hammering him for it.
No, he said it was a statistical anomaly, which I just hate that description of the play. It was very dismissive. His tone was very dismissive of the play. But it's not like he could have done anything. He wasn't on the field.
They're calling it the Miracle Miami.
You know, a statistical anomaly. But that sort of description of it and that tone in describing it, it's like, nothing we could do. You know?
I like the statistical anomaly. I like to term it the embarrassment in Miami.
Well, that's what it is here.
Not the miracle in Miami.
That's what it is here.
Dude, do you know that Hoda and Kathy Lee had it on their show?
What they have?
Supposedly,
the play?
The play?
Yeah.
Miracle Miami. Look at this.
Of course
play
they did. That goes to Jim's point that these guys are going to have
like,
to deal
with. I like the green and white colors. So pretty.
Not
together.
Typically
did
talking.
They drink to it?
Huh?
Did they drink to it?
Of course they did. Of course they did. Those two get hammered.
They can't legally. They can't. You can't. That's got to be apple juice. They can't legally.
Why not?
You can't do it on air.
You can't drink on
air. You cannot do it on air.
Says who?
Says who?
I thought that was a violation.
A violation of what?
Of FCC. I swear to God.
No.
Oh, really?
I think there are.
Boy, I'd start drinking in a pre and post then.
I don't know what the. I'm trying to
tell me how many.
Tell me how many people drink on live television. Tell me.
Yeah, you can't do it in advertising. I believe is the rule. You can't.
Can't sell.
So in a beer ad.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be shown drinking the beer. I think that's the rule. It's an advertising thing. It's not a. Like,
damn it, I thought it was a TV thing.
Well, how many times have you seen a scene in a show where someone's at a bar drinking and it's on TV?
It's probably full of water. Colored water.
What would be the difference?
I don't know.
Those two are getting wasted every day. The thing is, they don't drink the drinks. They take like a sip.
They sip it.
Now, you're, like not, you're like not allowed to. Them. Now, in commercials, you're not allowed to show somebody actually drinking. That's one thing.
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant in TV shows, like in fictional reenactments. That's what I thought you meant.
No, I mentioned that, too. I did. I mentioned both.
So we're missing out on something then.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's start, you know. Whoever the intern is,
a Beetle for
day,
our we'll purposes,
we'll
we
put
should
Spider
let
Spider in the corner.
Put, no, we should one. We should
put
let
Spider
Zoe,
in the corner start making some drinks.
We should let Zoe go.
Give me a highball glass.
Go on believing that it's illegal. No, it's against the Zoe. You were right the first time. It is against the law to consume alcohol while you're on the
FCC
radio.
Violation.
All right.
Nope, you can't do it. You were right the first time.
Hmm. Coming up next, we'll talk to Billy Jaffe. Get what?
Tell me something about the Bruins.
Billy, tell me something about the Bruins.
Yeah.
We're going to have Billy tell us something about the Bruins coming up next here on Solak and Bertrand.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Well, up top it comes Marchand. Cycle begins. Marchand pulls it near dot to Krejci. Darts back in the cage. Krejci trying to bank it out in front. They score! Krejci finds Torrey Krug just about 5 feet off the near post. Hammers it by McKenna. An overtime victory for the Bruins. 2-1 here in Ottawa.
Billy Jaffe of Nesson is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. The Boston Bruins get an overtime win at Ottawa on Sunday. Torrey Krug, the hero. And now they're getting ready for tonight's game against Arizona. Billy Jaffe, again, joins us from Nesson pregame, postgame. Billy, what's up?
How are you?
Billy, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
Ah, you sound tired.
Yeah.
You sound down.
What's your problem?
What's going on?
No, just got off the ice, ready to go into the Warrior Rink to watch morning skate. It was great. Good. I'm ready. I was just waiting for you to beat me in, and so I said hello two or three times.
What do you? Yeah, well, Tom's on. Sorry. What do you? What are you getting off the ice for?
I do a Tuesday morning skate. A bunch of guys out. We go and we do some drills for an hour, and it's going to the gym.
So, drills with who?
Skating. We do drills. We do puck. We do stuff. We put on the gear. We go out there. And we play hockey.
Yeah,
nice.
I don't know who he is. Yeah, that's all. Like,
is
that
like
discussion
of a
week? Well, I can. Jeremy, Chris, Benny.
All right.
I can give you the name of all the guys. There you go.
Real people out there.
Judd.
Real people. No Judd. No. Bunch of old farts. That's what it is. Bunch of old farts out there skating around.
Billy, I want to ask you about Brad Marchand, who got a goal and an assist in the game against Ottawa. Is he sort of figuring out how to exist without the assistance of Patrice Bergeron?
At times it sure seems like it, Beetle. It seems like that, you know, sometimes less is more for Marchand when he tries to skate through more than one or two people, because he has that ability. We've seen that, right? But then when he tries to make it to the third guy, it doesn't work out nearly as well. When he simplifies it, he becomes that player that dominated last year, and at times this year has. So in the last couple of games, I feel like there's been elements of that, and therefore he's having the puck on his stick more instead of giving it up, and he's not chasing it as much. Look, we all know that Marchand and Pastrnak, they need Bergeron, right? Who wouldn't? That makes such a big difference. But he's got special skill set, especially, you know, Marchand getting in tight, getting in close. I feel like we're seeing a little bit more of that. What, he had 9 shots the other day against Ottawa?
Hey, is this a critical stretch for this team coming up? You know, hitting the road here a little bit. You know, you got Pittsburgh, you got Buffalo, and then bringing it home next week.
Well, they go home tonight, the road. Yeah. Then they go home. They go home and road for the next, I think it's 5. So
right.
It is a critical stretch. But, you know, look, ever since 2-3 weeks ago when we started talking about life without Char and life without Bergeron, just those two in particular, those massive losses, we said, be at least 500. Just be there. Well, now there's still a couple of games with these two wins over the weekend, though. There are a couple of games over 500. So you've got a Western Conference foe tonight in Arizona that you really don't know much about, who's severely banged up as well in the last couple of games. They lost some key players. But, you know, you never take for granted, obviously. But then you got two big games in Pitt. There's always a good rivalry there. And then Buffalo, a team that is really surprising everybody. And they're a point or two above you in the playoff race. I know we're not even at the halfway mark yet, games played. But sure, it's a critical point. You know, you find a way to get 4 or 5 of 6 points somehow in these next three. Then you're like, all right, you know what, fellas? We're going to be above. We're going to be at least 500, if not above 500, for the time that Char and Bergeron both should be out.
What was the result at last Pittsburgh game? Was that a matinee?
No, it was the they played it at night at the day. It used to be the matinee game after Thanksgiving, right?
Okay, you're talking about that one? That's what I was thinking.
Yes, the 7:30 face. It was a good game. Bruins, I don't remember the score.
Yeah, but I mean,
they won.
This is a good litmus test for them against a team like that, right, in their building?
It is. Well, it is. You know, Friday night in Pitt. Pitt's been playing better, churning up some points now, battling it out. The Metropolitan Division's been a bit dicey this year. It hasn't been great right now. And I know, again, we're early, but you'd have 5 teams from the Atlantic in the playoffs versus just 3 right. from the Met. But Pitt's better. I mean, Crosby's still Crosby. Malkin's better. There's rumors of a potential Kessel trade. I don't know if I believe that.
Let me ask you this, too. I mean, so it's not like worst-case scenario to be an 8th or 7th game because it gets you out of the matchup to where that thing reseeds itself, you know what I'm saying? But you avoid, like, Pittsburgh-Toronto, right?
Well, if you're saying if you're a wild
card, I'm talking long range, yeah.
Yeah, if you're saying, yeah, I mean, you would, the bottom team, if there's 5 out of the Atlantic, one would reseed to go play the top in the Met, in the Metropolitan. So, yeah, I mean, thinking ahead, it might not be a bad thing at all.
Billy, what did you make of the hit that happened in the game against Toronto with Zach Hyman, who's now been suspended 2 games for his hit on Charlie McAvoy? What did you make of the hit, and is the 2-game suspension appropriate?
What I made of the hit, that it was not necessary for a few things. One, the time of the game. Two, the lateness of it. That was, to me, that was even more significant, was the lateness of it. Knowing Zach Hyman, and he is an intense player. He's a bull out there. He's a thick kid, 6'2", 210. His job is to go out there and create room, get pucks and score, but not like Matthews or Tavares, et cetera. But he was going after, Charlie. Since the first shift of the game when Charlie got what I thought was really a marginal call penalty against him, but regardless, they'd been going after him. So I didn't like the timing of it. It was definitely late. And the league deemed that as well. And I just, there was not head contact. Let's be clear. There was not that. Now, that doesn't mean the head or neck doesn't move with the impact. But I thought, I wasn't sure if they were going to give him 2 games. I thought for sure they'd give him 1. 2 ends up being a little bit stronger of a statement, especially for a guy, Beadle, that has no history like Hyman. He's had a clean record. But, that's why I really stopped guessing on these things. You're rarely right on the amount. Because there's really no precedent. Like sometimes you think, you see the hit. There's a few weeks ago, Tom Wilson hit on a player from New Jersey, and I thought he'd be getting something, and then the league gave him nothing. So sometimes it's hard to decipher.
Yeah, I just think the 4-goal lead and the time, as you said, in the game late in midway through the third period, where the game was sort of over, it felt that way.
Like, well, the timing of it,
it just felt like a cheap shot, even though he didn't hit him in the head. He pretty much got him in the shoulder and laid him out.
Yeah, and Zach Hyman hits like a bull. He does. It was the lateness of it. 0.6 seconds is the delineation or is the standard that the league uses when they're doing the frame-by-frame replays on these type of things. Now, at Nesson, we had it. We don't have probably the ultra technology that they have at the NHL of player safety, but we had it at about 0.97, 0.98. It was more than the 0.6. I mean, I know that sounds funny. We're splitting hairs here, but it was late, and that was the biggest, most egregious thing.
All right, Billy, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for checking in.
Gentlemen, be well. Nice talking to you.
Happy Hanukkah, right, buddy.
Billy Jaffe, you can find him on Nesson.
Is it still Hanukkah? Like 8 days?
Beatles going to have none of that. Beatles going to have none of that talk.
None of that religious stuff.
I had hit the button. There's a little bit of a half a second delay there. And then you're wishing Happy Hanukkah, and he talks, and it's too late.
He got all excited.
The button had been, the cord had been pulled.
It's been in that dreidel. Good
right,
buddy.
Billy Jaffe, you could find him on Ness.
Oh,
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. We thank Billy Jaffe for taking the time to join us here. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We'll get back to some of your calls. You've been hanging on the Patriots.
Why don't
we do
hanging.
That in 90 seconds after these headlines?
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.